Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to your 8th of November, 2024 show of shows. My dome is looking fresh. Yes, I love going to a barber who says, hey, what would you like me to do with your do? And I'm like, I love the fact that you think that I have a choice. Like, do you think I have an option? I'm just like, shave it as close as it can go without me looking like I'm in chemo, and we'll just let it grow back from there. But I like it. Short, like a number one buzz, square back, and do a little bit of the shoulders. Hey, Steph, a few months ago, I sent you an email about the Bitcoin Film Fest happening in Warsaw. Never heard back. We'll be announcing the third edition after the weekend. Yes, sorry about that. I do get invites. I'm not really doing much travel at the moment. Except in my mind, in the journey. You know how they rebranded Satanism as spirituality? You know, just find your inner guide, man. Just meditate. Just go inside. Just, you know, follow your bliss. Just listen to the flesh. It's like, okay, so it's just Satanism, but we wanted to rebrand it. All right. Of course, you just donated. Thank you so much. You are very, very gratefully and deeply and humbly thanked for your support. freedomain.com/donate. I have, yeah, him trim the ear hairs. Yeah, you know, it's an old joke. Like, you know, you're over 50 when it's like, well, you can't do much about the top, but perhaps if you could bushwhack the ears and nose, that would be fantastic. Now, you can get barbers to go into your ears. You cannot get barbers to bushwhack your nose. It's just not a thing. So they leap from here, they change their mind in their suicide pact, and just hang on to the ears, and then clamber in and burrow. It's like that old song about, I'm so tough, I live in the country, I'm so tough. I don't shave, I just hammer the bristles in and bite them off from the inside. That's right, Duke Nukem voice. All right, so I have a topic, I have a couple of topics. But it's your show. I hope you don't mind that I put down in words. So yeah, it's your show. If you want to talk about anything in particular, I am thrilled beyond measure to try to deliver. I am thrilled beyond measure. Why do you think the celebrities are not leaving to Canada yet? Because they're a bunch of fucking satanic puppet assholes who say what they want because they're controlled by hidden evildoers who move their limbs. God forbid all the things that we wanted when we were younger, to be beautiful, to be talented, to be famous. God forbid we get any of that stuff, because it comes at absolutely a demonic price. Probably has for most of human history. Sure as Sherlock does these days. So I've made a vow. I mean, I make a bunch of vows, a good majority of which I keep. But this is my vow. If you said that you were going to fuck off out of the country if Trump won, I'm never buying anything from you again. Simple as that. If you said that you were going to fuck off out of the country because Trump won, I need you to do one thing, which is fuck off out of the country. That's all. Just fuck off out of the country. And I will not watch anything, listen to anything. If they're on the station, I'll ask to change it, even at the fucking dentist's. I will have nothing to do with people who make these, well, that's it, I'm leaving. If I don't get my way, I'm leaving. And then they stick around. Well, now we have to stay and fight. Yeah, fuck off. Oh, I fucking hate people like that who come up with all this bullshit about how they're storming out, they're going to take a stand. No, okay, well, I didn't get what I want, so it's fine. It's like all of the people who said Trump is literally Hitler, and then they're like, well, you know, it's really important to have an orderly and peaceful transfer of power. Like, it's so sad. It's so sad. James, can you hit me up with a list of... Yeah, that was Bono who said he would drive off a cliff. I never saw that verified, so that could just be made up. could just be made up. But yeah, if you could find a list of the celebrities, let's name and shame. It's name and shame. I don't think any of them said they were going to go to Gambia. Interesting that they just wanted to go to places generally wider. The only place I can think of that's leaving that's better is a place even wider. Oh, yeah, the, you know, my body, my choice stuff. Well, of course, it's an old argument from this show, but I'll believe my body, my choice from women when they accept my wallet, my choice from men. When they don't vote to take away resources from men and the unborn, because women in general drive the national debt. And so when women in general stop voting to enslave men through the state, then I'll believe that they really believe in my body, my choice. Yeah, it's like all the people who say, well, the government shouldn't be involved in the doctor's office. It's like, yeah, mandated shit, and you literally want government-run healthcare. Dear Lord above, it is embarrassing. Yeah, why are they not going to Guatemala? Why are they not going to Mexico? Why are they not going to... you know what? I hear it's pretty easy to get into Libya these days since Obama and Hillary nuked Muammar Gaddafi and caused the eruption of open-air slave markets where you can buy an actual human being for about $400. Where are they going there? Where are they going? Oh, it's wild. So, have you heard of the burnt toast theory? Have you heard of this theory? It's a very interesting theory. I've actually used it in my life long before I even knew that it was a burnt toast theory. So the burnt toast theory is quite interesting. What it says is, oh yeah, male circumcision is still legal. My body, my choice. How about you don't use demonic, satanic, witch brew face cream made from the circumcised, mutilated foreskins of little Korean boys? Maybe, just maybe, I'll believe my body, my choice when women stop circumcising their kids. And I know men do it too. I get it. But, you know, that's the thing. So the burnt toast theory goes something like this. You're trying to get somewhere, you're hungry, but your toast burns, so then you have to redo it, and you say, well, you know what? Maybe if I didn't redo my toast, I would have been involved in a car crash that I've now missed. Or maybe you run into someone because you were a little bit late and it's so great to see you, exchange numbers, you rekindle a friendship, but you wouldn't have if you hadn't burned the toast. It's a little bit of gaslighting, I get all of that. But it's a way of finding the good in a negative situation. So I had to have a cyst removed from my shoulder, I don't know, a couple of years ago. And I was like, okay, well, it's a bit of a drag, right? I remember trying to get out of the bath and I couldn't get out of the bath. It was too painful on my shoulder. I had to go pretty deep. And I remember thinking, well, you know, if it's going to happen, it's better that it happens in my 50s rather than my 80s. You know, if something's going to happen to you, like you need this, so whatever weird cyst thing dug out of your shoulder, then it's better that it happens in your 50s than in your 80s, because it's a lot easier to recover from shit in your 50s than it is in your 80s, right? So it's a way of turning things into a plus by looking at all of the things that are better off because of the change, right? Because you can look at the downsides of a change. And of course, now looking back at it, it was just a really interesting, I mean, I'm a quick healer, right? So to me, it was just a really interesting thing to go through, to have something dug out of my shoulder, have it sewn up. And it was just kind of an interesting experience to go through. So DC Drano on X wrote this, which I thought was interesting. If Trump won in 2020, he would have had a Democratic House and Senate, or impeachments, no Senate confirmations, no bills passed, and possibly the end of the MAGA movement as an effective political force. But now, he has the House, Senate, Supreme Court, a popular vote mandate, and an entire country that wants to clean up our elections, close our borders, deport illegals, and hold corrupt politicians accountable. Sometimes, I think it had to happen this way. Now, I don't believe that everything works out as it should. I don't believe that the universe works in mysterious ways. But I do believe that your first, I won't speak for you. My first impressions of things being bad are not always correct. I mean, I had this with the whole deplatforming. I love being deplatformed now. There was this woman on Facebook who was bragging about how she got me kicked off various platforms. I thanked her. Thank you for reorienting me back to what I do best, which is abstract, universal, eternal philosophy, rather than the flybys of the here and now. So try this as a whole, right? Try this as a whole, which is to say, what are the good things that you can get out of a negative situation? What are the good things you can get out of a negative situation? All right, huge list of celebrities. Bum, bum, bum. What do we have here? We've got Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce, Kim Kardashian, Tom Hanks, Oprah, Bryan Cranston, Hillary Clinton. I think Tate says he's coming. I think Andrew Tate says he's coming back, not going away. Alec Baldwin. Whoopi Goldberg, John Legend, Chrissy Teigen, Rob Reiner, Barbara Streisand, Cher, Nancy Pelosi, Hillary Clinton, Megan Rapinoe, that's the soccer star, right? Tom Hanks, Amy Schumer, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Lady Gaga, Taylor Swift, Bill Gates, Jane Fonda, Madonna, Mark Ruffalo, Kim Kardashian, Bruce Springsteen, George Clooney, Hunter Biden, Oprah, Robert De Niro, Samuel L. Jackson, Miley Cyrus, Travis Kelce, Bobby Althoff, Rashida Tlalala. You can't say that name out loud and pronounce it correctly, otherwise your furniture starts floating. Stormy Daniels on the Sticky Express. Anthony Fauci, George Soros, Diddy, Eminem, Ellen DeGeneres, Sean Penn, Sharon Stone, Ashley Judd, Tommy Lee, Bryan Cranston, Billy Joe Armstrong, and Bono! So, probably true. Could be true. Not certain. But yeah, don't give them a penny. If they're there, turn them off. Don't give them a penny. Don't see any of their movies. Don't listen to their music. Just treat them as unpersons. Yeah, I mean, I remember being late for work once. I used to bike all over Toronto. Like, I'd bike for hours all over Toronto because I was broke, right? I was a student, so I didn't have a car, obviously. And I didn't even want to spend money on the bus. And so I would just bike everywhere. And I was late getting to work one day. I used to live downtown, and I had about a 20-minute bike ride to work. And I was late. And so because I was late, I got stuck at a light. And when I was stuck at the light, a hell of a speeder went screaming through the light. And, you know, I could have been in that, right? He just didn't even put, just, and he's like perpendicular, right? Just, so if I'd have been in that, right, I might have been hit by him, right? So it's, always look for the pluses. Always look for the pluses. Some said it in 2016 or 2020. Yeah. I mean, that's fine. That's fine. It's not like Trump's had his reputation rehabilitated since 2016 or 2020. So they call him even worse names now, right? Now it's convicted felon accused or convicted of sexual assault. And so if they said it in 2016 or 2020, they should be even more behind it now than they were back then. If RFK can fix healthcare and food in the USA, I might now have a place to move away to from Kanakistan if I must. Yeah. What compels a woman to film a TikTok of herself crying to the audio of a man saying a joke? So the one thing you can always be guaranteed of, and I'm not talking about all women, but, you know, these sort of narcissistic, attention-seeking women on social media, the one thing you can be absolutely certain, 150%, is that the men that the women are complaining about are, without any form of doubt, those men are by far the safest and most respectful of women on the planet. Guaranteed. Right? So during the immigrant rape scandals in England, women weren't on there crying about this kind of stuff, for the most part, at least not in this. So what are they? They're crying about white men and how dangerous are white men to women compared to, I don't know, a bunch of other cultures and stuff. Well, you know, you could argue kind of a bit less, right? And they won't talk about the burqa. They'll only talk about this made up handmaiden's tale, weird fetish bullshit, right? Yes, of course. If you look across the world, look around the world, it's the women in the Christian-founded countries in the West that are absolutely the worst treated. You got, I mean, just objectively, you can't argue with facts. So you absolutely know for sure that women are not complaining about black crime rates or immigrant crime rates or anything like that, you know, some of which are a little higher. No, they're only complaining about white males because the white males are the nicest. It's very unfortunate. And please don't take this as representative of all women, of course, right? But it's very unfortunate because what they're doing is they're programming men to say, oh, yeah, that's right. We did try that whole being nice to women and, you know, giving them rights and privileges and worshiping them. And we tried the whole being a gentleman thing. We tried the chivalry thing. And look what happened, right? It was viewed as a weakness by which women could gain attention by putting down those who treat them the best. It's very sad. It's very sad, but it appears to be somewhat irresistible for some women, right? Trump has said he will declassify the Diddy tapes and Epstein list. Yeah, I don't understand that. I don't understand that. So the Epstein had recording equipment, right, in his various locations. And there were all these CDs, and then they just vanished, right? So I want Trump to find out what happened to the videos. I don't want a list. I don't want a list. List is plausible deniability. The videos, that's what counts. All right. New Dragon's Age game is tanking pretty hard. Yeah, it's not all Zoe Quinn's fault. But no, it's not a dud. It's not the game that the developers wanted to make. It's just a game that they were in a sense forced to make because I talked about this recently, but a competitor, Riot Games, I think they make Valorant and stuff like that. They were hit with $100 million fine over lack of inclusivity, sexism, misogyny, right? And so, yeah, so they had to compromise, and it's really, really sad. All right. Why you know tippity steph bot? Why you know tippity steph bot? I'm sure you've just briefly forgotten. So, yes, you can tip at freedomain.com/donate, or, of course, you can tip on the app, Rumble and Locals and so on, which I appreciate. All right, sorry, I missed a couple of cues over in Rumble. Why do bald men pay the same price at the barbers as men with full heads of hair? I would assume because it's you're balding, what percentage, they don't want to get to argues. Well, I'm 50% bald, so I should only pay 50% price. Right, they're going to can't bring out tape measures and so on. And of course, a lot of men are in denial, so they don't want to pay less for having less hair. So, all right. But it's one of these questions economists have, which is why is popcorn so expensive at movie theaters, right? And it's some balance of if they didn't have popcorn as expensive, they'd have to raise the price of the tickets more. And some people have just eaten, so they don't want snacks and it's all. But I don't know why they don't just go and ask the people who run run the movie theaters and ask them, but anyway. All right. Beep. Well, yeah, the Republican Party is not conserving much, without a doubt. But is that really the fault of the Republican Party? I would argue that it's the fault of the people who still patronize the legacy media. It's the fault of the people who still patronize the legacy media. So, and a lot of those are boomer Republicans, right? So. All right. Did I miss any questions here? Let me just see if I got any. What are your thoughts on J.D. Vance? I don't trust him at all. I mean, very even-tempered, very skilled, a very good debater, obviously very well-trained in law, and so on. So, I don't trust him at all. I mean, I hope we're a little bit beyond this, but in general, I'm not sure why you would trust public figures. I mean, he is a politician, and there's things that he's going to be able to do, and then there's things that he's not going to be able to do. Do I think that he wants what's best for America? Yes. Will he have to make a whole bunch of compromises in order to achieve 10% of what he wants? Yes. And so I'm not good at compromise, and I don't say this like in any condescending or negative way. I don't say this to, oh, well, I'm just no good at being corrupt like other. I don't mean it in that way at all. I genuinely suck at those kinds of compromises, right? You know, politics is the art of the possible. And you do what you can within the framework that you have. And there are people who are really good at that. And they know how to work the system. They are willing to get what they want and give up what they can't get. And they're willing to meet people halfway, who in my view are stone evil. But Rob Reiner said he'd set himself on fire. Really? That seems quite dangerous to have a grease fire like that. That doesn't seem right. Don't throw water on Rob Reiner if he set himself on fire, because you don't throw water on a grease fire, right? All right. More celebs. Cody Reynolds? Who the hell is that? Keith Olbermann? Well, I think he left reality a while ago. LeBron James, J-Lo? Well, she might have to leave. Ben Stiller, Billie Eilish, Taylor Swift, Stephen King, Julia Roberts, Meryl Streep, Kevin Spacey, Rosie O'Donnell. Yeah. Have you thought about micropigmentation for baldness? It completely changed my look. Only maintenance is shaving with electric shaver every 3 days. Give the illusion of a hairline. Listen, you're a younger man. I'm happily married. And my wife loves my look. And, you know, I once said, oh, they have a cure for baldness. She's like, not for you, they don't, because I love you just the way you look. So I don't care, don't want it. And I'm not saying it's anything bad. It just seems like a lot of pain and weirdness to go through. Just embrace the dome. Embrace the dome. And what you do is you say, baldness means I'm going to exercise better, right? So for me, losing my hair when I was young meant that I couldn't really get overweight. I had to keep working out. And I, you know, so it ended up being a big plus for my health as a whole. So honestly, I can't tell you how little I care about being bald. I just can't tell you how little I care about being bald. So, all right. So compromise. So some people are like, well, politics is the art of the possible. I have to negotiate with people who are corrupt and evil to the core, and I have to give and I have to get. And some people are good at that. And honestly, it's a necessary skill. I'm not putting it down at all, but I'm not good at it. I'm really, well, if I was any good at compromise, I'd still have my old platform. I'm just not. I don't mean to say like I'm some platonic purist and everybody else is, oh, so corrupt. I just suck at it. It's the same thing, like, I remember this in the business world, you know, everybody was always saying, hey man, you got to learn how to network, you know, you got to learn how to network. And I'm like, but I want to keep my soul. And there are some people who, you know, hey, we get together, we got some lunch, we got some really great things we could do together, you know, we share a vision, like, let's really take this thing to the moon, let's be a power duo, you know, whatever, like, they just, hey, you know, schmoozy, fun stuff, you know, thump the music box and make it work. And I was just never any good at that, because I can't, for me, and again, it's a necessary skill, it helps a lot of people, but I'm terrible at schmoozing, and I'm terrible at compromise. I mean, I'll compromise in my personal life with sort of give and take of relationships. But as far as sort of basic principles go, I just can't do it. Well, the other thing, yeah. If Trump had been allowed to serve in 2020, his son could never have voted for his dad. Well, you know, Barron's understanding of youthful social media made a big difference in the Trump campaign. And he would have been too young, I think, back then to have that level of credibility. Trump is like regularly saying, run it past Barron, run it past Barron. Barron knows what's going on. Barron knows the facts, right? Canada has conservatives, yeah? So, for me, I would look at the Democrats, like if I was in the political realm and had to work with the Democrats, I'd say, you all wanted to take people's children away if the parents wouldn't vaccinate them against COVID. Now you say, but it was only 25%. It's like, yes, but you're still in the party where that was a big thing. Half of them wanted people like sanctioned, fined, or arrested for criticizing the vaccines or the lockdowns, right? They wanted people, half of them wanted people thrown in camps for not taking the vaccine. I couldn't work with people like that. And again, I know politics is the art of the possible, and I'm not, you know, trying to be above it all and superior because I guess some people have to do it. I just can't. I just couldn't. That's why I couldn't have a Democrat in my life. Because we're like, I mean, again, and it wasn't like there were no Republicans, but the number of Republicans who wanted to do it was far lower. It's like the free speech issue, right? The number of Republicans who wanted people thrown in camps and their children taken away was far lower than the Democrats. And you say, well, I didn't believe that. It's like, yeah, but that was, there's a lot of people in the Democrat Party who do believe that, and you're associated with them. You know, if there's splash damage from, oh, you talked to so-and-so once and so-and-so's a bad guy, you had so-and-so on your show and so-and-so's a bad, if there's splash damage from just flybys or passbys or handshakes or associations, then there goddamn well is. Black acid to the soul splash damage from being part of a group that wants to pull that kind of shit in society. Can't do it. Like when it came to schmoozing, like the networking, yeah, you do, right? I just couldn't do it because to me, I can't just use people as props for money and career, right? Mark Hamill was a big Kamala supporter, even went on a Twitch stream with Pokimane while she had on Bernie Sanders. That dude is such a slimeball. Well, he did take serious blows to the head between A New Hope and The Empire Strikes Back, right? That's why they had him, his face lacerated, because he was in an absolutely terrible car crash. So there may not be much Mark Hamill left. It might be Mark Hamill with a bowl of soup for former brains. I love all of the people who were like, you know, we just need a Joe Rogan for we need a Joe Rogan for the left. You know, we need a Joe Rogan who can speak to the left. It's like, Joe is a Bernie Sanders bro. Like, you know, Elon, we need an Elon Musk for the left. It's like, these guys started on the left. It's just wild. Dems are just too intolerant these days. They used to be the opposite. It's really weird. No, it's not weird. It's not weird. It's not weird at all. In my view, it's not weird at all. I mean, it's a demonic offer. The devil comes along and says, I'll free you from all restraints. I'll free you from all rules. And you can do what you want and pursue what you want. And you don't need to have any self-discipline. And you can just indulge. You can be a hedonist. Right? And then you got to sign on the dotted line. And you got to give me a soul. Right? Right? So the reason you have no rules is because a very strictly enforced rule at the end where you have to give your soul. So the devil's like, yeah, yeah, go nuts, man. Go have fun. Here's money, fame, looks, beauty, glory, whatever. Talent. Yeah, yeah, go nuts. You don't have any rules. But the only reason you don't have any rule is you have one rule at the end, which is you've got to give up your soul. And if you're not willing to give up your soul, the devil doesn't liberate you from rules, right? And so the reason why this is such a powerful story is because this is what the government does, right? The government says, oh, yeah, there aren't going to be any consequences for your bad behavior. You get pregnant, you can fake an injury, you can do whatever you want, and we'll take care of you, and we'll give you welfare, and we'll give you free health care, and we'll give you disability and all this kind of stuff, right? And you are freed of all rules. And how are you freed of all rules? Well, you sell your soul. You sell your liberties. You sell your freedoms. You sell the next generation or two to foreign banksters, and then you end up with a kind of tyranny, right? The liberation of rules leads to the imposition of stricter rules. This is a fundamental thing in life, right? So if you say, well, I don't really want to go and work out every day, well, then maybe you get diabetes and now you have to inject yourself every day. Right? So going to the gym was optional. Injecting yourself is not. Right? If you say, well, I don't really care what my weight is and I'm not going to exercise, okay, then you need knee replacements when you get older. And that's not optional. Oh, I'm just going to sleep around. I'm going to raw dog it. I'm not going to use any birth control. Okay, well, then you're now on the hook for 18 years of endless money in the baby jail. I mean, rules are always pay me now or pay me later. I mean, when I was working my ass off as a teenager, 2 jobs, 3 jobs sometimes, and when I worked my ass off when I was in school, and right, there were lots of people who had a lot of fun. And they didn't achieve much success, and I've done all right. I've done all right. So, you know, you kind of hate it at the time, right? Kind of hate it at the time. You know, manual labor, I wasn't a huge fan of drilling up north and gold panning and hiking and blazing trails. I wasn't a huge fan of all that kind of stuff. But man, did it ground me in reality, as opposed to my mother's crazy ass mysticism, right? And the mysticism and collectivism in schools. It's all pay me now or pay me later. It's more fun to spend money than to save money. Oh, look, I have all this freedom to spend money in my 20s. And then you don't have any savings, and then you don't have the freedom but to pursue your dreams in your 30s. Not complicated, right? Hey, look at me. I went to Cabo San Lucas. I went to Turks and Caicos. I had a great time. And now I'm 35 and I can't quit my job because I'm in debt and I can't pursue my dreams. No self-discipline early means inflicted discipline later. You could have saved your money. Now you can't start your own business. So, what do you think about Australia banning 16 and under from social media? I see the benefits, or is it tyranny? Well, no, I assume that Australia wants to stem the young male's drift towards conservative or right-wing values, right? So Australia banning, do they ban them from the internet? Do they ban them from pornography sites? Do they require uploads of ID for pornography sites? Or is it just social media? So I assume that they want young impressionable minds to be controlled by the media and by the schools in particular and not have any counter narratives, right? So no. And it's social media. I mean, it's like sugar. You have to learn how to do it responsibly, and that's something you don't get just by banning it. You have to learn to moderate your relationship with whatever your weakness is. I have a bit of a weakness for sugar, so. Don't work out, just eat less. It's all about calories in and out. Oh yeah, because skinny, anemic, and with a low muscle mass and brittle bones. That's what I call health. No, screw you. Of course we work out. Of course we work out. Yeah, of course you work out, because it's not just about calories. Working out is just have some muscle, have some confidence in the world, know that you can handle things in an emergency. That's what working out is about. It's just feeling strong and having that mindset in the world that you're not on this tottering house of cards of a frail, anemic, pencil-armed body that people are just going to push you around because you don't obviously have the self-discipline to pursue any particular form of exercise. No, please, do weights. Do weights or forever be alienated from yourself. Somebody says, I'm in Australia and the majority is pissed about the ban. It also coincides with the misinformation bill. The ban is actually to force enrollment of a digital ID so they can control us. Yeah, for sure. For sure. For sure. It's hard. I rarely doom scroll, but if I was a teenager, I could see being an addict. So they wanted a V-chip in TVs back in the 90s, I think it was. So all of this semi-totalitarian or openly totalitarian bullshit is just all arises from a lack of fathers in the home. Like for whatever reason, and I'm not saying it's right or fair, but it is a fact. For whatever reason, moms cannot inflict rules, especially on sons. And it's got to be really frustrating for moms. And I get that. But it just is a fact. You need a dad to have rules. Now, mom can do this stuff when the babies are toddlers, and so on. But starting around the age of 7 or 8, boys in particular view female authority as emasculating sorcery to be fought to the bitter death. I don't think it's just me. But men have a kind of quiet authority that works with children and in particular with sons. And women often just get kind of shrill, exasperated, tense, frustrated, angry. I've had like 3 calls this week with women about this. So all of this, like, how do we impose rules? Well, you have fathers in the home. And men and women both contribute wonderfully to the family. So this is not a better or worse scenario, but you have fathers in the home. And if you don't have fathers in the home, boys don't respect rules that come from the mother. And like we can say right or wrong, it's a fact. I mean, tell me I'm wrong. I listened to male authority. I resisted bitterly and half to the death female authority. I just did. Because female authority, my experience, I'm not saying this is objective, right? I'm just telling you my experience. Maybe you've had similar things. I viewed male authority as adherence to objective standards. I viewed female, quote, authority as a bullying because the woman was upset. So for the men, it was like, you know, we kind of got to get this place organized because it's kind of tough to find stuff. And you kind of work that way out. It's like, you kids are driving me crazy. I can't find anything. Like men, boys, masculines, we don't respond to that. It's gross. Ew. No, thank you. I'm not here to manage your hysteria. Men I viewed as bringing me impersonal reports of objective rules that were good for themselves and society, right? You kids are driving me crazy, as opposed to, hey, this is kind of loud. I'm trying to get some work done, you know. Men simply inform you of objective rules. Women take everything personally, not all women, right? A lot of women take everything personally, and you have to not upset them. And men, sorry, like it or not, we'll fight it. We'll fight it. We'll fight it like hell. And I remember my mother, and I've said this before, right? I'm aware of that, but I remember my mother with my brother. When we would visit my relatives on my father's side, we'd visit my aunt and uncle. And it drove my mother crazy because my uncle, or our uncle, I said, would say to my brother, I remember distinctly, and this bothered my mom for like, I don't know, 10 years afterwards, right? But my uncle said, you left the toothpaste cap off the tube, and my brother ran up the stairs to fix it, right? And this drove my mother crazy. Why, when I ask you to do things, you flew up the stairs when he asked you to do things, I ask you to do things, and you just roll your eyes. Ah, right? It bothered my mom. Probably for 12 years. I mean, probably still bothers her for all I know. Nurse a grudge till it grows a beard. So, you know, like with men, we're often debating and arguing and so on, but we don't sit there and say, I'm talking, right? That's, you know, there's just kind of a hurly-burly in male discussions, and you have to raise your voice, and sometimes you have to be a little sharp, but it's just, I don't know. I'm not saying it's right, I'm not saying it's sane, I'm not saying it's moral, but when men raise their voices, it tends to be somewhat intimidating, and there's authority there. When women raise their voices, it tends to be kind of shrill and tense. And I'm not saying it's fair. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying what it is. Men are delivering rules like they're delivering mail. Women want you to not upset them and to make them feel better, which men will resist. And look, I think women resist this too to some degree. Dead on, thanks for explaining the things I feel, but cannot explain. Yeah. Men is like, don't shoot the messenger, these are the facts. Women are like, I'm going to shoot anybody who upsets the messenger. In other words, and this is not all women, of course, right? I'm just talking about somewhat of a trend. I was expected to change my behavior because a woman was upset. Right, this is the tone policing. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. And everybody's turning into these little walking, sideswept hair, blonde-dyed Karen HR department managers who are finger-wagging society into the abyss. But I don't see why I should change my behavior because someone else is upset. Because men are wired to change our behavior in many ways in order to upset people, because this is the different thing. Right? I mean, if you're, and again, there's lots of women who are athletes and competitive, right? I'm just talking about a general trend here. So if you're a man, the value you bring as a man is largely dependent upon pissing off other people, right? So if you get the cheerleader, all the other guys are mad at you, right? If you win the running race, all of the other athletes are mad at you. If you're the first one chosen in the softball game, the people who were chosen last are mad at you, right? So men, we know that if we change our behavior to appease people who are upset, we're completely and totally evolutionarily fucked as men. Because we want to be the one who wins the fight. We want to be the one who wins the fist fight. We certainly want to be the ones who win the sword fight. We want to be the ones who are the best hunters because the best hunters have the highest prestige. We want to be the ones who are taller. We are the ones who want to win every competition we can get our hands on. Victory for a man means pissing people off. So the idea that we would limit our potential or limit our self-expression or limit what we're doing because other people are annoyed is absolutely anathema to men. We cannot do it. We won't do it. The fact that other people are upset is the mark of victory. I mean, am I wrong? Tell me if I've gone too far or I'm astray. You know, this is a communal conversation. But when I was dating the second hottest girl in school, all my friends were pissed off. And that's part of how I guided myself. So you've seen these, Trump conducting this orchestra of like screeching liberals and so on. And this, you know, like, I drink the tears of my enemies, you know, the salt. I need more salt. These are all guys after the election. Post your best hysterical liberal Democrat reaction, blah, blah, blah. It's because that's how we know we've won. And I know it's a little incomprehensible to women. I get that. I mean, it's okay. Women are delightfully incomprehensible to men as well. But the idea that we would change our behavior to not upset people goes against every conceivable grain of masculinity that exists. I mean, if you're in a punching match with some guy, you want him to go down, you want him to go crying to his mother, you want to fucking win. If you're in a sword fight, right, this is the great line from Patton, right?
The point of war is not to die for your country, but to make the other poor son of a bitch die for his country.
This is why all of this self-sacrifice and shit like that is just wild. So, I mean, this is one of the fundamental things that men and women don't understand about each other. And we can get into why women are more conformist and so on, but women need the approval of the community because women are not in competition with members of those community. Because remember, the whole dating marriage thing was supposed to be 6 months, maybe 12 months max, right? And then you got another 60, 70 years. So women succeed by cooperating with each other. You got to watch their kids, they got to watch your kids. You've got to cooperate and go out and help each other with the livestock and the gathering and right the cooking. You all got to participate and help. So it's all about cooperation, which is fantastic. But men, it's all win-lose. Women is win-win. So if people are really upset with you as a woman and they won't watch your kids, they won't help you cook, right? They won't invite you to their canning and jamming parties. Well, you're kind of fucked because you might not have enough food for the winter. Like, it's bad. It's bad. So the disapproval of the group for women is bad, and that's entirely right and healthy and good and right and positive. But the disapproval of your competitors for men is delicious, and this is why the women are crying on social media, some women, right, about the Trump thing, because they're trying to create the impression that women are upset, women are disapproving. You've got this, like, it comes out of South Korea in 2019, this like, we're not going to have sex with men, we're not going to date men, we're not going to have men's children. And this disapproval from women works with women, but it doesn't work with men. This is why people don't understand the election cycle, and they don't understand Hillary and Trump, they don't understand Kamala and Trump, they just don't understand. They don't understand why I use first names and last names, probably misogyny, right? So they don't understand. Well, we're showing you intense disapproval. And that works on women. But it does the opposite for men. We enjoy disapproval. Yeah, take themselves out of the gene pool and so on, right? Like, jab at the heart.
No sex for you.
Like, between him and an on-fire Rob Reiner, between the average feminist and an on-fire Rob Reiner, I don't know. It's a tough call, man. Well, and of course, it's going to be very tough for these women because if the first thing that they can think of doing is not have sex with men, well, that solves the abortion issue. It solves STD issues. It solves all of that. And if they choose not to have kids at all, then it solves the aspects of their personality that are genetic that gets out of that. So that's good. That's a plus. But if the first thing they can think of in terms of affecting society is to stop having sex with men, then what they're saying is, well, I can't debate, I can't reason, I have no facts, I have no evidence, and so I'm going to manipulate you with no sex. But then what's going to happen is their personalities are going to crater. Because they use sex in order to get attention. They use sex in order to get resources. They use sex in order to get dates and male attention. And if they don't have good arguments, they don't have good reasoning, they're not well-read, they're not virtuous, and then they stop offering sex, they're addicted to sexual display and sexual offers because that gets them attention without them having to really work at it, right? So that is why, the triggered woman with the glasses, the triggered woman or the screaming woman with the hat or whatever after Trump won in 2016. The men find it funny
and somewhat enjoyable, and the women find it horrible and needs to be fixed. Right? And it is incomprehensible as a whole for people, this difference. This is one of the biggest gaps between men and women, is we men enjoy and find it great for our enemies to suffer, right? 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 Conan, what is best in life?
To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of their women.
It's a Genghis Khan thing, right? One day in the pavilion at Karakoram, he asked an officer of the Mongol Guard what, in all the world, could bring the greatest happiness. The officer said, "The open steppe, a clear day, and a swift horse under you, and a falcon on your wrist to start up hares."
"Nay," responded the Khan, "to crush your enemies, to see them fall at your feet, to take their horses and goods and hear the lamentation of their women. That is best."
So, that speaks to men, right? That speaks to men. To crush your enemies, to see them fall at your feet. That's causing other people suffering, to take the horses and goods and hear the lamentation of their women. The women are crying, and that means you've won. And that is almost incomprehensible for women, right? It's in our blood. And of course, I'm not saying that this is, you know, good, moral. I'm just saying this is our evolution. Does that make sense? Somebody sent me $2 and say, "Thank you for your work. Get back to Twitter." I might need knee replacements because of all the exercise. Well, it certainly can happen. But in general, walking, I think, is pretty good for your knees. It regenerates the cartilage and so on, right? All right. "I was always the last one chosen on the team. It didn't bother me. It just drove me more to prove myself." Okay, that's just a lie. Of course it bothered you. That's why you wanted to prove yourself. Of course it bothered you. Oh, God. Why do people think that not being bothered by stuff is somehow superior? Thank you, Dad. Like, why... why do people think that, well, it never bothered me? It's like, that's not healthy, man. Of course it should bother you. Of course it should bother you. That's like saying, "Well, you know, I stepped on a nail stigmata style, went all the way through my feet, but it didn't bother me." It's like, bro, that's really not good. It's not good that it didn't bother you, because that means something's seriously wrong with your nerve endings. So... yeah, I don't know this. "I was always the last one chosen. It didn't bother me." It's like, that's not healthy. Of course it should bother you. I hear it from women a lot, this unbothered stuff. Yeah. "Forgot the time zone. Greetings from Chicago, that toddling town. Nice job at the EU Parliament." Thanks. It's a while ago, but it was good, right?
Tough guy voice, because generals in the past had to yell a lot and it destroyed their voice. All right.
All right. Sorry. I'm getting into the alternative Genghis Khan quotes, which was not something I thought I'd be doing tonight. But here we are.
Yeah, it is. The fact that men are unbothered by upsetting people is kind of incomprehensible to women. And the fact that women are so bothered by other people being upset is incomprehensible to men. And I don't think we should try to comprehend it, because if I comprehend how susceptible women are to peer pressure, I'm going to get man tits. Well, bigger man tits. Moobs. I think it's something we observe, but we don't penetrate. We don't go all the way in. Are you a Christian yet? Hey, I'm an empiricist. When the facts and the reason present themselves, I go anywhere the wind blows. Tone your Austrian accent up to 11. Well, it's not really an Austrian accent. It's Austrian plus weed plus steroids plus neck pressing on throat plus playing a tough guy for 40 years and then cucking! Screw your freedom, right? What an absolutely pathetic thing to do. What a sad, thank you, Chris. What a sad, pitiful, pathetic thing to do. I don't know why people, I mean, just shut up. Although it's really great that celebrities are telling them, are telling us what they actually think so that we can stop thinking about them as having anything other than, you know, prettiness and some talents, right? But yeah, I mean, so, I mean, I generally view this tone policing and so on as an attempt to turn men into women so that, and I, the way that you completely fuck up the birth rate is you tell women that who they are is good and nice and wonderful, and men are bad and rude and smelly and uncaring and unthinking, and they just, you know, all of that, right? So you tell women, well, you tell them when they're girls, that boys are just broken girls. Like, that if the boys were just like girls, everything would be great. The girls are nice, they sit well, they don't fight, they don't rebel, they don't need ADHD meds, they're not twitchy, they're, right, they're not aggressive, and so girls are great. And of course, if you're just in this institutional pecking party chicken farm of silence and stillness and compliance, then yeah, girls find it a lot easier to just sit there for 8 hours a day and be droned at, and boys don't, right? So what you do is you tell women that, or you tell girls that femininity is wonderful, right? It's a literal phenomenon in psychology. The women are wonderful, the war phenomenon. Women are wonderful. The standard of virtue and excellence is the female. And boys are loud and stinky and noisy and immature and rebellious and disruptive and right. So you say to girls, you are the sine qua non, you are the ideal, the platonic perfection of the human soul, and anything that deviates from femininity is the bad. And then what happens is women just constantly try to mold men into women. You got to be more sensitive. Why didn't you ask Gary about his divorce? You were out there on the golf course for like 3 hours. Why don't you guys talk about anything real? You just discuss politics and the economy. Like, what's the matter with you? Like, why don't you remember these things? Why don't you remember, you know, the name of your daughter's teacher or her pediatrician? Why did you remember? Like, you should remember these things. If you remembered, if you really cared, you'd remember these things. Like, why do you forget this? And why do you forget that? It's like you don't even care. Like, just drone, right? Women have a great bear trap minds for these things, and it's absolutely essential for the functioning of a household. So what you do is you tell women as girls that femininity is wonderful and masculinity is bad, and then they're on this rescue mission to fix men, but men hate being fixed because we're not broken. We're not broken. Women are not broken and men are not broken. We're just turned against each other. It's a satanic deal, right? Right? Propaganda influences women. Women influence men. Satan tells Eve to eat the apple. Eve makes Adam take the apple, because what man can resist anything a woman offers him when she's got no clothes on? So, then what happens is this grim battle ensues, where the women are trying to turn men into women,
And either the woman fails, in which case she's incredibly frustrated and views the man as resistant and bad and so on, and she's unhappy, or she's even more unhappy if she succeeds. If she succeeds in turning the man into a woman, she gets a deep ick because she's not a lesbian, and she loses respect for him, and she goes and has an affair with a guy with stubble and a motorcycle jacket. And, I mean, this goes all the way back to my 20s, right? Why are you talking to your friend like that? You didn't ask him anything about, like, he just got married a year ago. You didn't ask him how he's doing. And I was like, but I'm a guy. Like, here's the deal, honey. Here's the deal. I won't tell you how to run your female relationships, right? I won't tell you how to run your female relationships, but you sure as shit aren't going to tell me how to run my male relationships, right? I mean, when you talk to your friends, you don't hear me say, well, why don't you guys talk about anything other than feelings and gossip and who said this and she's all that? Like, why don't you ever talk about philosophy or abstractions or economy or politics? Like, hey, you have your female friendships and that's fine. I've no complaint with it. Men and women are different. I'm not going to tell you and tell you that you're wrong for what you talk about with your female friends. And you, guess what? Are not going to tell me that I'm wrong about how I talk to my male friends, right? So, we don't worship a god anymore. We worship kindergarten morality. You know, like, what is it? I saw a sign outside a school not too long ago. You've heard this before. Like, you can be anything you want to be in this world, so be nice. If you can do anything, if you can be anything you want to be in this world, be kind. Nice, kind, accommodating, appeasing, sweet, delicate, thoughtful, encouraging, supportive. Blah! Blah. You know, they're not going to really aggressive places and saying that, right? Just be nice. Be nice, be kind, be thoughtful, be considerate. Be female. Be female. So rather than vive la différence, right, celebrate the difference between men and women, you tell women that if men were just like women, everything would be great. And God forbid you fall, this is a whole psyop, right? It's a total psyop. It's a total psyop. Yeah, I remember being at a village fair many years ago when my daughter was very little, and this creepy old guy comes racing up wanting to give my daughter a wristband for girl power, and, you know, you can do anything. I'm like, whoa, back off, buddy. No, don't bring that shit here. Do not bring that stuff here. Because if you say, you know, you can do anything, you're empowered, it's like, she's not coming from a state of powerlessness. She's not thinking there's things she can't do. And the be nice thing is, I mean, if women really liked nice guys, A, there wouldn't be as many single moms. B, 50 Shades of Grey would have been revealed as a revolting, semi-pedophilic Bible that it is, in my view. It just wouldn't be like that. The propagandists, I don't in particular blame the propagandists, I just blame the parents, and I blame the kids when they grow up, right? Of course, I mean, if you can get what you want from people just by propagandizing them, right? I mean, I haven't seen a lot of, you know, if you've got really aggressive, say, from the Middle East, you've got really aggressive protesters that, you know, can be quite violent, or the Black Lives Matter protests in the Summer of Love 2020, right? Like, if I didn't see a lot of women out there lecturing people to be nice. It's only when they've got little boys in the fucking classroom that they put this poison down their spines.
Right? They don't go out where it's actually dangerous and people are being violent and saying, it's really important to be nice. Guys, just be nice. Put down the Molotov cocktail. Release the kids from Chaz. Like, just go. Like, they don't do any of that stuff. They only lecture people who are already interested and kind of broken and want to be nice, right? I mean, it's the job of the parents to make sure that the kids are not, you know, half slaughtered by propaganda, right? 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 I mean, the more aggressive religions, they're not women out there. It's really important to be nice. You got to be nice, be sweet, be thoughtful, be, you know. And, you know, this is why I constantly put in these caveats, right? Because I don't want people to go, oh, well, it's the moment you're nice to women, these terrible things happen. It's like, no, because there's lots of women who appreciate it and respect it and like it and all of that, right? But yeah, we worship kindergarten posters. We don't worship morality. We don't worship strength. I mean, even after the example of Chamberlain at Munich, just be nice, be accommodating, be thoughtful, be supportive. You don't support me. You're not supportive. So when you tell girls that femininity is great and masculinity is toxic, you turn them into nags and it kills the birth rate. Men don't want to be turned into women. And then at the same time, you try and turn women into men by having all of these action stars who weigh 90 pounds tossing guys around like bowling pins who are 200 pounds of pure muscle. So you just try and turn men into women, you try and turn women into men. Nobody can celebrate and enjoy the difference, and the birth rate plummets. It's a fantastic form of warfare. I mean, what warfare is there that has you manufacture and turn the weapon on yourself? It's amazing, right? Right, it's in the original Conan, right? Thulsa Doom. I can't believe I remember that. But Conan's got this big sword and smacks people up. And Thulsa Doom just gestures someone off a cliff. Yeah, that's the power. The power is in the words. The power isn't in the sword. Pen of the sword, right? Pen of the sword. And of course, once you had weapons of mass destruction, you had to shift to propaganda, right? And propaganda is a form of weeding out, right? The people who are most susceptible to propaganda generally have the lowest birth rates. So it is, sadly, in the long run, kind of a self-correcting problem, because all the people who are susceptible the most to propaganda tend to have the lowest birth rates, and those the least susceptible to propaganda tend to have the highest birth rates. Yeah, so a lot of women will want men to be super nice and thoughtful and sensitive and caring and supportive and not upset people. And then they also want the man to be a high earner and to protect them. Yeah, it's not, I mean, this is the crazier women, right? And men have their craziness too, right? But in this particular instance, right? And I mean, I've said this for many years, like if you want a man who makes a lot of money, he's going to piss a lot of people off because other people want that money, right? If you want a man who makes a sale, he's going to piss all the other salespeople off because he's getting all the money, right? So if you want a man to be successful, then he's not going to be sensitive. And if you want a man to be sensitive, he's not going to be successful. And wanting a man to be to both sensitive and successful, it's incomprehensible. It's incomprehensible to men, right? It's like the man who wants the woman who's super hot but has no idea. It's like, you know, women are very much programmed to figure out where they stand on the dating pecking order, right? So, yeah, it's really, really tragic. And it's all just the result of the state, right? It's just, it's so profitable to propagandize people. Okay, successful and nice. Okay, he is gay. Oh, nice?
I would invite you to spend some more time around our good gay friends in the world. I was in theater school. I had four gay guys and a lesbian as a roommate in my master's program. And, you know, yeah, I remember this guy, he was a ballet dancer. He moved into Toronto and he was in my house for a while. And I mean, he just told me these horrifying stories of being just so aggressively hit on and almost preyed upon. And it's like, you know, if you think that gay is just synonymous with nice, and of course there are lots of nice gay men and so on, but if you think that gay is just synonymous with nice, maybe I just had some bad experiences. But I would invite you to spend a little bit more time in the gay culture and see how right nice they all are, right? All right. Let's see here. Thank you, Tony. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Very kind, very kind, very thoughtful. So nice! Not to be unfair, but Milo? Yeah, Milo, I mean, as you know, Milo has a bit of an edge. I mean, he has a bit of an edge. Go read Nero, right? All right. And yeah, the last questions and comments. Is women withholding sex as a weapon and generally being hostile to men a largely American phenomenon? I've heard of this happening in countless cases, including your call-in shows, but cannot recall this ever happening to one of your European callers. Withholding sex as a weapon. So, I mean, you're thinking, I mean, there was an original, was it Agamemnon? There was an original play about women refusing to have sex with Greek men in the ancient world until they stopped having the war, Peloponnesian War or something like that. So withholding sex as a manipulation for women is a time-honored tradition, right? I can't sleep with you if I'm angry with you, right? So then, oh, I got to make her not angry. Blah, blah. So that's a sort of time-honored thing. It's definitely a thing. I mean, Korea, the was it 4B or whatever it is, like the sort of don't sleep, don't date, don't have kids, right? Don't, all of that sort of stuff. Which is fine. Listen, I mean, I personally think, and I can't speak for men as a whole, but I think you could make a very strong case that it's like, well, if you give up forced income redistribution, you can have abortion, right? That would be the deal. My body, my choice means I don't want to pay for women who have kids outside of wedlock. I don't want to pay. I don't want to pay for the dentistry. I don't want to pay for the braces. I don't want to pay for the healthcare. I don't want to pay for the education. So if it's my wallet, my choice, then it can be your body, your choice. I just don't want to have to subsidize it. That's all. I don't want to be forced to pay for other people's bad decisions. That's a violation of my conscience. It's a violation. Forced association is a violation of freedom of association. I do not want to pay for other people's shitty choices. And I don't want them to have to pay for my shitty choices, which happen, of course. So, no, I don't. I mean, can you imagine a gay man here? It's not a nice community or tolerant. Well, you know, there's a variety, but I wouldn't. Liz Estrada, yeah, thanks. Hello, Faye. Hello, Faye. Hi, fellow gay FDR listener. Yeah, I mean, it can be a little bitchy. Time to time. On occasion. From time to time. Hello, everyone. Thank you. Withholding sex doesn't work. That's just punishment for me. Well, the parallel to withholding sex is the man withholding money. I mean, evolutionarily speaking, right? So, women can... I would be much more comfortable with women having more access to abortion if they didn't have access to my wallet. Or your wallet, right? And I say this to men and to women, because it's not like it's all men subsidizing all women who make bad decisions. There's lots of women who subsidize men making bad decisions. There's lots of women who subsidize other women making bad decisions. But as a whole, in general, women generally get twice the resources
out of the system than they pay in taxes, and women get, and men get half the benefits that they pay in taxes, right? I just don't want to subsidize people's bad. I don't want to be forced to subsidize people's bad decisions. That is a violation of my conscience. And so well, I mean, and lesbian relationships, I think, are statistically the most violent. A sort of lesbian bed death is sort of a known phenomenon, that when lesbians stop having sexual relations, and physical violence in lesbian relationships is, I think, the highest of all of that. So I think I don't want to be forced to pay for abortions, and I don't want to be forced to pay to raise children that aren't mine. That's sort of foundationally anti-male, right? So it is foundationally anti-male to force mostly men to pay for other men's children. Yeah, I mean, obesity, yeah, eat what you want. I would recommend you don't overeat, but if eat what you want, I just don't want to be forced to pay for your healthcare. That's all. I don't want to be forced to pay for your healthcare. You know, have dangerous hobbies. Have stupid, dangerous hobbies. You want to rock climb without a harness? I think it's stupid, but okay. I mean, I'm not going to go out and finger wag and drag people off the mountain. I just don't want to have to be, I don't want to have to pay for the costs. You know, I want insurance companies to figure this shit out, right? Like, because I don't know what's, you know, if you're going to have stupid, dangerous hobbies, then that's fine. I just want to let the insurance companies figure it out. Like, what's the cost of your life insurance if you ride your motorcycle in the rain, right? You may be right, I may be crazy. All right, let me just check comments over here. Thank you for your support. Rather than a bunch of small donations, if you could go to freedomain.com/donate to help out, that would be better. That would be better. But I do appreciate the support. All right, what do we got here? Best stuff right there. Story of your enslavement. Somebody says, I had a great mother. I have a wife who supports me 100% as I build my two businesses and take care of my father, but I have a real dislike to most other women and how they talk to me. I'm done with the something. It's gone. Well, okay, let me just ask you this. Yeah. Billy Joel. Okay, what percentage of people that you've met over the course of your life would you consider high quality? Trustworthy, reliable, honorable, moral, keep their word, fight the good fight, oppose immorality, promote virtue, and so on. What percentage of people would you consider high quality over the course of all the people you've met, over the course of your life, from being a kid, extended family, you name it, right? What percentage? I would, for me, it's like the low single digits. And I just look at the number of people that I've retained over the course of my life. Some for a long period of time, very long. But, you get 20%. Wow, good for you. 20%, less than 5, 3 to 5%, low amount. Yeah. 5%. I mean, I view you guys as being in the top 1%, right? Can count on a finger. Yeah, it's very low, right? It's very low. So, I mean, that's great to know that number, right? So what you can do then is when you meet new people, I mean, that's the great thing about being older is you've got validated statistics on your side. So you meet some new person. Whenever I meet a new person in the general population, I give them a less than 5% chance of being quality.
That's just data. That's just facts. That's just statistics, right? So it's good. It's very efficient, right? It's very efficient. You know, like all the women who want a sex strike because Trump got elected. Hey, you know, great. Great. It's like I'm absolutely, completely, and totally thrilled. Honestly, like butterflies in my heart. My spleen has wings. I am absolutely, completely, and totally thrilled at all of the people on the left who are blaming their election losses on racism, sexism, homophobia, misogyny. Right? It's like, yeah, absolutely, keep doing that, man. Don't learn a goddamn thing. Keep doing that. Keep blaming everyone but yourselves. Because when people blame everyone but themselves, they don't change their behavior. Fantastic. Never interrupt your enemy when they're in the process of making a mistake. Right? Because, and now there's the luring, right? There's the anglerfish luring that's happening in the US population, which is all the leftists who are like, you know, I'm seeking to understand. Like, tell me what I'm seeking to understand. I really want to know what it is that you found appealing, or help me understand, like, where are you coming from? And like, what's missing for you? And it's like, don't do it. Don't fall into it. Don't fall into it. You know, it's like the old thing. Well, you tell me, how does this affect you personally? Like, how does it really affect you personally? Right? Because they never say that to postmenopausal women talking about abortion, right? Then it's collective is fine, right? Then the collective is fine, right? But no, don't, because it is a trap, right? So if somebody were to come to me and say, oh man, Ben, you support like the free market, like help me understand, like I don't get it. Like just, and I'm like, okay, what have you read? At the time, I always might say, okay, what have you read? What have you read? What, you know, there's lots of very famous free market economists. What have you read? Who have you read? Well, no one. Well, fuck, I'm supposed to suddenly compress, you know, 30, 40 years of education into talking to you. I'm not your slave. Why the fuck would I do that? I kid you. Go spend 5 years reading shit. I can give you a list. Go spend 5 years reading shit and get back to me with anything you don't understand. But no, my God, like, oh, help me. It's like, if you want to know why people supported Trump, just go follow the Trump supporters and listen to their speeches, read their books, right? There's tons of them. You got Charlie Kirk, you got Dan Bongino. It turns out that Megyn Kelly ended up doing a little old flip there from like grilling Trump about his comments about women to giving speeches at his rallies. There's Jack Posobiec, there's Mike Cernovich, there's Scott Adams is fairly pro, right? There's tons of people. And a lot of them have written books and right, explained the whole thing. I mean, I did the audiobook of MAGA Mindset from Mike Cernovich years ago, right? So there's lots of, you go to Mises, you're like tons of people who talk about this kind of stuff. So go learn about it. And don't come to me, don't ever come to me giving me the impression that what I believe is so incomprehensible that I need to just sit down and unroll it all for you. That's a real insult. That's a real insult. I can't fathom how a human being could think this way. So explain it to me. It's like, nope, you lost me already. I mean, I have no interest in talking to someone like that. Yep, no, like, no, absolutely not. Because what they're saying, and I did just a little short show this morning about this. Yeah, it's very condescending. Like, how could you possibly end up with this perspective? Who hurt you? Like, what happened that you, what rabbit hole did you fall down? What misinformation you've been exposed to, right? Because, like, you know, there's misinformation, disinformation, and malinformation, right? Misinformation is, whoops, got it wrong. Disinformation is consciously got it wrong. Malinformation is you didn't get it wrong, but it's going to have harmful effects.
because apparently people who promote the teaching of Marxism and communism in schools are really concerned about the negative effects of particular belief systems, not the 100 million dead and all of that, but yeah, show 5723, How to Break Your Brain. So when somebody says, like, how could you possibly come up with these perspectives, they're saying that they're incredibly bigoted and prejudiced, right? That they don't have anyone who has any of these beliefs. They don't know anyone. They've never met anyone. They don't read anything. They've never been exposed to blah, 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 right? So. No, I don't. That's a trap. It's an insulting trap. No, I don't get it. I don't understand. Like, why would you blah, 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 right? Nope. Yeah, well, what have you read? Well, I haven't read. That's what I'm seeking to understand. I'm just trying to understand. Nope. If you're trying to understand something, you pick up a fucking book, right? When I first heard about Bitcoin, I read the white paper. In fact, I read the white paper out on this show. Satoshi Nakamoto's white paper, right? If I want to understand something, I pick up a fucking book. I watch a lecture. I learn some shit. I don't go to an expert and say, I don't understand any of this. Can you explain it to me? Like, none of this makes any sense to me. It's like, then read a book, idiot. Don't do this clammy, I'm just seeking to understand. Blech. It's like tentacles waving and going into your fucking nose and trying to disassemble your brain. Go read some shit and get back to me. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, capitalism killed people. Yes, that's right. Voluntary free market trade is just plain murderous. Oh, no. What you're confusing is corporations, which are statist entities, taking tax money in order to deliver goods to governments to kill people around the world. That's not the free market in any way, shape, or form. Yeah, it's like when Rachel is being disingenuous at the rally when talking with Oliver. Yeah. Yeah. Rachel finally escapes the city, right? Manipulation, when she tells the truth to the policeman. She's finally honest with someone, direct. States her needs without being manipulative, without using sexuality, without being manipulative, and then she escapes and gets to Oliver. Myopic? I don't know. No, it's just a trap. It's just a trap. It's like going to a graduate seminar in quantum mechanics and saying, like, I don't understand this at all. This doesn't make any sense to me. Things can be here and not here. Some gold goes through. I don't know help me. Like, this is a graduate school. You got to learn. You know, asking, like, somebody's not, like, if somebody genuinely wants to know about something, they'll learn about it and then ask you to fill in the holes, right? It's like the who'll build the roads people, like if, right? But who's going to build the roads in a free society? How will the children be educated? It's like, you know, there's Murray Rothbard, there's like 6 million people who've written answers to this, right? Have you read anything, right? Have you, I mean, AI has eliminated all this shit, right? No, it's not a cope for their inadequacy. Nope. It's an attempt to sow, it's concern trolling. I'm just seeking to understand. It's like, then go read a book. Go read a book and tell me what you don't understand. Go read 5 books, 10 books, 20 books, and then tell me what you don't understand. But if people want to learn things, they go learn them. And my answer now would be even easier. It's like, okay, let's give it a try. Let's give it a try. My favorite is Grok. Okay. In a stateless society, who builds the roads, right? Hey, maybe it scanned my books. Yeah, look at this. In a stateless society, the construction and maintenance of infrastructure like roads could potentially be handled by several means. Voluntary cooperation, mutual aid, market solutions, NPO, nonprofit organizations, insurance and investments, local communities or syndicates, customs and traditions, subscription services, blenders. Like, what? So AI is beautiful for weeding out concerned trolls, right? Right? Like, can you imagine? You're right. You sit down with Elon Musk. Like, I don't get how do the batteries and like how does the car see and how does it know which way to go and like how does it like. So the great thing with AI is like, have you asked AI? No, I want you to tell me. No, I got a life to live. Are you going to pay me? Are you going to pay me for my time and expertise? Right? Now with AI, if you haven't even asked the questions in AI, don't waste my time. Honestly, it's like if you're a waiter, right? And I'll sort of finish up here. So if you want to get any of your tips in before the end of the show, I really would appreciate it. freedomain.com/donate or here. So it's like you're a waiter and you've got a menu with 8 pages, right? 4 and 4 front and back, right? So you got 8 pages, right? It's a big complicated menu. And then you give the menu to people and then each person at the dinner table wants you to go through the menu. What's on the menu? You have a menu. Have you read the menu? No, I just tell them, what's on the menu? It's like, well, we have menus for a reason. Oh, and what's the price? And does it come with this? And what are the sides? And what are the options? And can I get, it's all on there on the menu. You read the menu and I'll get back to you. Now, there are any questions that aren't on the menu, I'll answer them. But I'm not going to, for like 8 people, I'm not going to 8 times go through what's on the menu, right? Yeah, if you're not curious enough to go look it up, right? Then why on earth would I answer your questions? This used to be a big thing back in the internet forums. Yeah, don't spoon feed the noobs, let them use the search function. Yeah, go look it up. You know, I mean, Murray Rothbard is great to read about this stuff. I would humbly suggest that my free books are also great on how things get done in a free society. I've got 3 books on this, Everyday Anarchy, Practical Anarchy, and The Future, my novel. Everyday Anarchy is an underrated but brilliant book. I will give you 2 seconds on the central thesis. So people say, well, how on earth would contracts be enforced without a government? And it's like, you know, the government runs on corruption and bribery, none of which can be enforced legally, right? People donate to campaigns, and then they go to 1,000-plate dinners, and then they get mystery meetings with the mayor, and then they get their permits approved, right? So the government literally runs entirely on unenforceable contracts. So saying how will contracts be enforced without the government is completely irrelevant. It's a complete non sequitur. Because if the government runs on unenforceable contracts, without the government's contracts could be enforced through ostracism and so on, right? So it's a great argument and a great thesis. And you should read the book because it goes into really quite hilarious detail. And you should also read The Handbook of Human Ownership or listen to that as well. Or there's a video for it, which is very good. Yeah, I don't understand what you said. That means you're wrong and I'm right. Right. I think it's a human mechanism to lie to yourself. Isn't that strange? No, it's just a way of being baffled is a way of saying that your opponent's argument is crazy. Right? None of this makes any sense. Now, they say to me, like, I don't get it and blah, 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 right? It's just a way of saying that the other person's, it's a way of discrediting the other person's argument, right? Thank you, Vince. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's really, let me just look this up. Your protection is not private. Oh, let me Google that for you, right? Well, but you shouldn't Google anything if you want any facts. Right, Google is a Moloch, right? Let me ask Moloch about virtue. Let me go to Google for facts. Isn't it appeal to status? Yeah, it's saying like, your beliefs are so weird that I can't comprehend. I've never encountered them before. Nobody I know, all of my friends who are good, they don't know anything about it. Like, it's so weird. It's just a way of alienating people from your perspective, right?
So no, it's an absolute troll. I would have nothing to do with it in a zillion years, unless it was some sort of public debate. All right. Okay. Any other last questions just before we close off for the night? I really do appreciate you guys getting by tonight, and I'll do my big topic I will do as a solo show, because you guys just had great questions. Questions and comments. Let me. Yeah, what does Wikipedia say? Wikipedia, speak with forked tongue. How did you learn about business and management? Was it mostly from books? So I've always loved business. I used to, honestly, in my late teens, early 20s, I used to go to the library and read the Harvard Business Review. The Harvard Business Review. It's where I learned about firing your customers. The customer is not always right. So I used to read a bunch of this stuff. I worked in HR departments and other business departments for a long time as a student. I had a bunch of temp jobs in various places. I worked at DEC and all of that. So, and just doing it, right? Yeah, I will absolutely try and get a meetup done this month. Thank you, Ground Beef, for the tip. I really, really appreciate that. I will try and get a meetup. And you know what? I will get a meetup done this month. And I'm sorry. It's my bad for not. I've had a couple of things come up, which we don't really have to bother talking about. But I appreciate your support. So, but we'll get a meetup. Yeah, we'll get a meetup. It'll go out to donors. I'm old enough to remember when Stefan praised Google and YouTube as examples of how great capitalism is, how times have changed, LOL. I think you're full of crap about that. I mean, YouTube has always taken government subsidies and so on. If I've completely forgotten that, and I've always criticized corporatism as a whole, right? Corporatism is a kind of fascism. I did shows with Stefan Kinsella way back, way back about that kind of stuff. So I don't remember saying that they are great examples of pure free market stuff. I'm not. It was a long time ago. Okay. Yeah. Honestly, just please. And I don't want to be incorrect about this. I've talked about the free flow of information, the free market of information, which YouTube certainly did, back in its early days, the glorious, 2006 to 2016, the 10 years of true free speech, that was pretty cool. But yeah, I don't remember saying that Google and YouTube are wonderful, perfectly capitalist organizations, but I am happy to be corrected. So just give me you can just email me. You can email me host@freedomain.com if you don't mind, right? I'm sure you can find it pretty easily because you just, it's right off the top of your mind. So you can just email me the show number. host@freedomain.com, and I'll have a listen. And maybe I was madly enthusiastic about things, but I don't remember that. So, if you're gonna put out this kind of stuff, don't be wrong. Don't be wrong. That's pretty bad. Pretty bad. Just wanted to say I really appreciate your accolades about the FDR audience. They're very well founded. Something I've thought for a while but not said. Well, I appreciate that. I really do appreciate that. And there's a reason I spend six plus hours with you guys a week, just chatting and jawboning about philosophy, because outside of family and friends, you guys are the best people to spend time with. And I really, really do appreciate that. All right. Have yourselves a glorious evening. Lots of love from up here. I will talk to you guys Sunday, and take care.